So I'd like to begin with a question. My question for you today is, who knows you? Like, who really knows who you are? All the wonderful things that make you new. Who knows about your sense of humor, your strengths, your gifts, your quirks, your unique qualities, the weird things that you do? Who knows that about you? Who knows you so well that they could tell your entire story? Who knows you so well that they could even describe the motivation behind your actions? Like, maybe it's your fears or your desires or your goals in life. Who knows you so well that they could say, this is that person's motivating drive or the reason behind why they do what they do? Who knows you so well that they could remove the mask and see the parts of you behind the mask that you try and keep hidden? The parts that maybe you were ashamed or embarrassed of. Does anyone know you that well? Does anyone know the selfish or the mean side of you? I think that we as humans have a desire, and sometimes it's hidden or buried deep within us, but that we have a desire to be known, to be loved, and to be accepted. I know I have a great desire to be known and loved and accepted. And I think that that's why we crave relationships and why we crave community, why some of us like crave a spouse, and like we look for communities and relationships and friendships where we can experience a level of intimacy where we can be really known and loved and accepted. Today we're going to be invited to be known. That's what we're about today. The title of my sermon today is The Freedom of Being Known. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Kevin, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff at North Langley Community Church and part of the team that leads here at Aldergrove. I'd like to welcome you here. If it's one of your first times here, you're here as we're kind of approaching the end of an interesting series that we've been doing called Freedom, The Joy of a Heart Set Free by Jesus. We've actually been going through the 12 steps or the 12 themes or kind of the themes that have made up 12-step programs for a long, long time. And these are concepts that are actually rooted in the Bible and that Jesus followers have found really, really helpful and meaningful for generations. I keep hearing people say about this series that we're in right now that it's good. Like, we have a lot of small groups that are meeting and doing like 12-step work in small groups through this series. And they're saying that it's amazing, that they're actually finding freedom, that they're taking steps towards Jesus, towards the divine, that they're loving what's happening, but also that it's been really hard. Like that we're just experiencing, many people are experiencing what you might call like vulnerability fatigue or just you're emotionally tired or drained. And that's okay. Sometimes I overquote in sermons. I use way too many quotes, and I found a whole bunch of quotes about this. So I'm just going to overquote for a minute, so just bear with me. So we're going to start with the writer of Hebrews. He said that no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. The series has felt a little bit painful for many of us. But they say later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. There's an author and missionary named Elizabeth Elliot who basically said in her own words that same verse, and she said, the process of growth is slow and often painful, but it's through the struggle that God makes us strong and beautiful. So I want to remind you that if you're experiencing discomfort or heaviness or this has felt tough, that the series has just, that the series is not intended to be punishment, right? It's the place where we find freedom. It's the place where we discover our authentic selves and who God created us to be. Hopefully, we're learning to see ourselves the way Jesus sees us. There's another quote from C.S. Lewis that says, hardships often prepare ordinary people for extraordinary destiny. I like this one. I want to remind you today that you are extraordinary to Jesus. That when Jesus looks at you, he sees you as a beautiful, as a beloved, as a cherished son or daughter, and that you are extraordinary to God. How about this quote? This quote fits just about anywhere, but Andy Bernard from The Office, I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them. And I was actually reflecting on this quote this week, and I was like, man, like maybe right now, this season, this hard work season, is the sacred and the holy ground where God is forming something new and wonderful and birthing something beautiful in us. Maybe this is where we begin to experience new depths of freedom in following Jesus. Maybe, a year from now, you will miss the series and the hard work that we're going through together as a church. So, in the words of Dory, we just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. There's an AA axiom that is one day at a time. Just keep swimming. And so that's what we're going to do as we continue to move through this series. And today, we're going to be talking about step 10. So we are getting near the end. So let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit's help as we engage this topic. So, God, we invite you into this sacred space and time as we explore freedom and what it means to have our hearts set free by Jesus. And we recognize and acknowledge today that it's not through magical steps or trying harder that we experience freedom, but that it's by drawing close to you. And so, Holy Spirit, may you come and guide and direct our hearts and give us the courage that we need to hear from you today. Give us the courage and the sensitivity to be aware of what you're calling each one of us to, individually and personally. So we invite you to come and lead us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you know what rumble strips on the road are, right? Like those things on the side of the road, and yeah, we don't like them. They're built on the shoulder of the road, and they make this really loud rumble. Like, if you're a good driver, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But for those of us that have hit the rumble strips, they like make this really loud rumbling sound, and they make your vehicle shake all over the place. And these things have been around for a long time, but they started getting more widely used in like the 90s and early 2000s. And they're kind of a safety feature designed to keep drivers alert who maybe are feeling sleepy or they're distracted by their phone or distracted by a 15-passenger van full of youth group students. That was me. And so I was a youth pastor in the early 2000s, and I was driving a 15-passenger van full of students and a trailer full of camping gear to a place in the States for something called Creation Fest. Maybe you've been there. And so we were all car dancing, and I know youth pastors, confession time, right? But like, we were car dancing very hard and very loud too. It was probably like Five Iron Frenzy or the Supertones, if that rings any bells for you. And as I was driving, I was also headbanging, car dancing while listening to the music turned up to 11. And all of a sudden, we hit the rumble strips, but I didn't know what they were. And so this loud, deep roll, like grumbling sound kind of welled up from underneath the car, and it drowned out the ska music that was playing on the radio. And I got really scared. Like, my first thought was, did the engine blow up? Like, do we have a flat tire? I remember looking behind me to be like, did the trailer come off? Like, what has happened here? And I got really nervous. And I thought to myself, is it right here? Is it right now in a smelly van with Doritos strewn everywhere and empty cans of Monster Energy drink? Like, is this it? Is this where it ends for you, Kevin? And I got really scared. And not to freak out the students, I started doing a quick survey to try and figure out what was going on. And I saw this newfangled technology on the side of the roads. And so I quickly assessed what was going on. And I realized what had happened. And so my heart started beating a little bit slower. And I came back to the center of the lane. And I danced a little bit less hard. And I turned the music down a little bit. And to be honest, the rumble strips worked, because I drove much safer after hitting those rumble strips. Step 10 in our freedom journey is a lot like rumble strips on the side of the road. Or maybe something a little more modern. Your car might have lane assist that beeps when you get too far outside the center of your lane. Step 10 exists to help keep us on track, to help us keep us in our lane, to pull us back to center when we start to drift. Because we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to start to drift off course. And if you've been working through these 12 steps, you've written a whole bunch of inventories and lists over the last 2.5 months. And step 10 helps us to keep from needing to write a really long list again. Step 10 is about keeping short accounts and working through your stuff regularly and daily to keep short accounts. So step 10 reads, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Like I said, we've been talking about inventories a lot. We've done resentment inventories, fear inventories, brokenness inventories. We've done making an amends inventories and character defects inventories. Doesn't this sound like fun? No. But step 10 is basically doing all of those inventories every day for the rest of your life. Does that sound encouraging? Does it sound freeing? No, it doesn't. So we're going to explore it today. I have a beautiful verse that is from Psalm 139 that kind of summarizes the intent behind this step. Because I have found that I think that this step is the most beautiful that we've hit so far. Psalm 139 describes this step. It says, "Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." See, step 10 is basically just doing this on a regular basis, maybe daily, maybe multiple times a day. But step 10 is asking God to search us and to know us and to reveal to us the source of our anxious thoughts, to test us and to see the true state of our heart, of our mind, and our soul. This is a psalm that's actually about friendship with God. Right? We invite a friend to do this type of thing. Search me, even my thoughts. Know my offense and be willing to call it out when you see something in me that isn't healthy or good. It's like a shepherd guiding their sheep, protecting the sheep even from themselves, right? This is a psalm about the freedom that comes from being known by God and allowing God to know you, trusting ourselves to the complete care and gentleness and love of God. See, I can fool other people. Like, I can make it seem like I'm doing way better than I am to people around me. And sometimes I can even trick myself into thinking I'm doing better than I really am. But I can't trick God, right? We can't pretend to be something we're not in front of God. So we invite him into this process to search us. Because sometimes we're blind to our own actions or thoughts. And so we ask God to test even our motives. What is the reason behind the things that I'm doing? And we invite him to lead us. R.E.O. White says this of Psalm 139. It says, "This psalm has all the marks of intimate friendship, detailed knowledge, a reading of minds, and a hand on the shoulder to encourage and to check. These are ascribed here to God. His companionship is unbroken. Even on the occasional attempt to hide from God, that is frustrated." This psalm is an invitation to the freedom of being known by God, behind our masks and behind our excuses, our true, honest, and vulnerable self. All of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So as we begin to unpack what step 10 is asking of us, When we do this, it's easily going to sound like, and when I first started preparing the sermon, I was like, this sermon is basically do these 12 steps every day for the rest of your life. And to be honest, that sounds terrible. I don't want to do that. Do any of us want 12 more things to do every day? Like 12 hard things to do every day? And no, we don't. But does anyone here want to experience the freedom that comes from being known? And the security and the safety and the acceptance that we feel from being truly known? I want that. I think we all want that. So let's kind of go through this. So again, step 10, what is a daily inventory? Because it says continue to take a personal inventory or a daily inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Kind of a short, simplistic, and again, kind of depressing way is to just say we do these 12 steps every day, right? But I would like to kind of reframe some of the 12 steps. We've been reading them every week, and these are going to be the 12 steps in Kevin's words. So let's see how they build off of one each other. So we admit that we are powerless and acknowledge that only God can help us. We submit ourselves to God and acknowledge our sin and our harm. We admit and confess our sins and wrongs, and we aim to understand our sin. And so we ask for forgiveness, and we consider who we may have caused harm, and when appropriate, we say sorry. We search our heart for places that we may have missed and invite God to do that with us. We pursue the life God has called us to and look for opportunities to tell others about the joy of a heart set free by Jesus. Now, friends, when we look at this list, this is a list of discipleship, right? Now, discipleship is kind of a Christian-y word that we have that just describes what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to follow God. And this list isn't all of it. Like, it's bigger than this, just this list. But this list is a pretty important part of what it means to follow Jesus, to admit the sovereignty of God in the first few steps and to acknowledge where we have sinned and caused pain and suffering, and we ask for forgiveness and we say we're sorry, and we ask God to lead us and to help share the good news of Jesus with other people. The 12 steps are a discipleship list. And if it's your first time going through a list like this, it can be really heavy and really hard, and it can take a long time to go through this list. But if we're doing these things daily or regularly, we're actually keeping really short accounts. This doesn't have to be a long, laborious task that we do every day. In fact, I have found it really helpful to frame step 10 as my daily time with God, as my daily devotions with God, where I ask him to search me and to know me and to correct me and forgive me and empower me to know how amazing he is. Again, I want to read our psalm, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This is just daily time with God. And using the 12 steps as maybe a roadmap or a template or some things to consider during our daily time with God. And a lot of you, a lot of people in this room are doing regular time with Jesus. And that's amazing. And so I definitely don't want to like try and make this a guilt sermon to be like, spend more time with God. Like that's not what I want to do today. But I do think that it's important to bring some of these steps into our daily time with God. And maybe this is a habit that you haven't formed yet. Maybe this isn't something you're doing regularly. And if that's you, I think that this is a great invitation from God today through the 10th step to just have a daily time with him, a daily time where you invite him to search you and to know you, to be known and accepted by God. So keep this habit going if you have it, and maybe allow these 12 steps to shape what that habit looks like for you, or maybe it's time for you to start a habit like this. See, sometimes in my regular time with God, I don't focus on all the things that are in those 12 steps. In my daily time with God, to be honest, I default to thankfulness. I enjoy, like, that's a helpful part of my daily time with God is to be thankful. And then I do requests. And I'm like, God, here's where I need help, or here's where I would love for you to intervene or be with this person. And to be honest, I often forget the search me part of my quiet time with God. I can often forget the test me part of my quiet time with God. Sometimes I forget the lead me part. And in my quiet time with God, it can feel more like me trying to lead God to the things that I want done. But I think that there's a humility in using this 12 step as a template where we're inviting God to lead us. When focusing on this as a daily time with Jesus, John Ortberg, whose book we've been using a lot during this series, he kind of boils it down to 5 things. He says, like, maybe you're not going to do these 12 things every single day, but try with this. He says, start by just asking for help. Inventory your blessings. Count your blessings is another way of saying that. I like this one a lot. Pray about your feelings from the day. I don't often do that. Pray about my feelings. Like, why was I feeling that way? And Lord, why... Anyway, I think that's an interesting one to explore. Number 4, rejoice and seek forgiveness. And then number 5, look to tomorrow. This might be a great outline to kind of shape at least part of your quiet time with God. It's like a prayer pathway moving through some of the themes found in our 12 steps. So, friends, this 10th step, today's step, is a summary of all the 12 steps. But it's not meant to be a burdensome task. We need to learn the 12 steps in order to know what tools we have at our disposal. Let me explain. So some of you in here are old enough to remember movies from 1984. Does anyone remember The Karate Kid from 1984? What a great movie. There's 6 movies in the Karate Kid franchise. The newest one came out just earlier this year and starred Jackie Chan. How many of you knew that? The box office would also suggest that none of us knew that. And so, but there are 6 in this series. And in this one, the best one in 1984, Mr. Miyagi agrees to train Daniel in the ways of karate. and Daniel wants to learn how to kick and to punch and to fight. And so Mr. Miyagi says, yes, I will train you in the ways of karate. And so he invites Daniel to come and he starts to train him. But instead of training him to kick and to punch and to fight, Mr. Miyagi asks him to sand the floor. And he says, sand the floor, not like this, but like this and like this. And Daniel does that for a whole day. And the next day, Daniel shows up and Mr. Miyagi is like, okay, today you're going to paint the fence. And you paint the fence like this. And not little strokes like this, but like big paint strokes. Daniel does that for a whole day. And the next day, Daniel comes expecting to learn to kick and punch and fight. And Mr. Miyagi says, today you're going to wax all my cars. Wax on, wax off, right? And then the next day, he shows up again expecting to learn to fight. And Mr. Miyagi says, today you're going to paint the house. And it's like these long brush strokes painting the house. And in a really cool moment in the movie, Daniel gets really mad at Mr. Miyagi. And he's like, you're supposed to be teaching me how to fight, how to punch, how to kick. And instead, you just have me doing all these jobs around your house. And then in this really cool moment, Mr. Miyagi yells at him. And he's like, sand the floor. And then Daniel sands the floor. And Mr. Miyagi kicks him. And then Daniel blocks the kick. And then he says, wax on. And then Daniel goes, wax on, and he blocks a punch from Mr. Miyagi, and then he's like, paint the fence, and then he has all these cool moves that he's learned through muscle memory and practicing these things over and over again, and Daniel sees how all this work is starting to fit together to allow him to defend himself from attack, and I feel like step 10 is kind of like that for us, where we've been learning all these things. Not every time does someone throw a punch at Daniel does he paint the fence and paint the house and wax on. Like, he's like, no, when someone throws a punch at me, I need to wax on or wax off. He doesn't have to do all the things. And I think of the 12 steps as kind of like tools, as exercises that we're learning how to do so that when we feel attacked in our life, we have the tools to defend ourselves from that attack. It's kind of like, if I'm being attacked by my own pride and I'm starting to think of myself in an unhealthy way, it's like, oh, step one, it's like wax on. And it's like, I'm powerless over myself and I need God. And it's like, I go back to that step. Or if I did something that maybe hurt someone I love or care about, it's kind of like, okay, that's going to be paint the fence. And I need to go to step 8 and 9 and do an amends and to ask for forgiveness and to keep short accounts. So when we talk about doing the 12 steps every day for the rest of your life, it doesn't mean we have to write these long inventories every day. It's that we have these tools, these skills at our disposal. So when we spend time with God and we ask him to search us, he might take us back to step 4, where we need to confess. Or he might take us back to step 2, where we need to submit to his power and his leading in our life. Or he might take us to step 9, where we need to ask a spouse or a sibling to forgive us. These 12 steps, confession, submission, making amends, are the way we battle disappointment and resentment and bitterness and pride and anger in our lives. We let ourselves, our day, our actions, and even our thoughts be brought before God. We allow God to search them. And there we are known. We are known by God. And that's the freedom of being known. It's not needing to do everything perfect, but it's keeping short accounts and being honest with God, not letting sin or resentment fester and grow into something ugly inside of us. A daily inventory invites Jesus to wash us clean of anything wrong that we have done or harm that we may have caused. One of my favorite and one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible is Jesus washing his disciples' feet in John chapter 13. And I'd like to read part of that story right now. So Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Well, then, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet,
their whole body is clean. You are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that's why he said not everyone was clean. And when Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. This is such a beautiful story about servant leadership and humility. And it's also a beautiful story about how we need to be served by Jesus on Jesus' terms. I love the exchange between Simon Peter and Jesus, because Simon's like, you are never going to wash my feet. That is too demeaning for you. You are the teacher. I am the servant. I should be the one washing your feet. I should be doing the work. This isn't something that you do. But then Jesus speaks against Peter's pride and his desire for self-sufficiency, Peter's desire to do the work himself. Jesus says, unless I wash you, you can have no part with me. He's kind of like, Peter, you have it backwards. You think that if I'm the master, that it's your job to serve me. But it's not the work that you do for me, Peter. It's the work that you let me do for you. I do the washing. I do the cleaning. It's not Kevin. It's not Peter that does the cleaning. It's Jesus. And then Peter says, well, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Peter's kind of an emotional guy. And so, like, at first he's like, no, you'll never do this. And then he's like, well, wash all of me, right? And this is an example of we need to do this on Jesus' terms. Because Jesus says, your whole body is clean. You only need to wash your feet. Jesus is saying that work has already been done. You've already been forgiven. You are already clean. And in the context of going through the 12 steps, we talked about how the 12 steps are basically a discipleship pathway. And so if we've been a disciple of Jesus and we've gone through those steps, we don't need to keep going back and reliving all of our inventories every day for the rest of our life. Like, that's not freedom. That's being held captive by these things that are part of our past and our story. But Jesus is saying that we are forgiven of those things. This is a call to discipleship. But every day there's a little bit more where your feet got dirty today walking around, where we need Jesus to serve us and to wash us every day. Every day there's a little bit more. I washed you clean, Jesus says. You don't need to wash your whole body. Those are the parts that we've already dealt with. If you've asked God to forgive you of something in your past, if you've worked through your different inventories or lists that we've talked about, if you've sought forgiveness, we don't need to keep being like under the burden of that. We experience freedom of not being under the burden of things in our past. We are forgiven of those things. This is the kind of freedom that we've been talking about. We don't need to be rewashed for those things. Don't go back and relive or rewrite your entire inventory every day when you do your daily time with Jesus. You don't need to be defined by the amends list that you have made. We don't redo that every time when we do our daily inventory. But in our daily inventory, we come to Jesus and say, Jesus, what do you have for me today? What is today? Wash my feet today. See, Jesus reminds us that this is on his terms. The way you serve me is by letting me serve you. I think that that's one of the things Jesus is teaching us by washing his disciple feet. Like, I want to clean up my own mess. I want to clean my own feet. I don't want Jesus to have to serve me. I think I'm the one serving him. But Jesus reminds me that that's not how it works. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Like, know me and my actions and my intentions, my desires even. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Know my motivation, my intentions, my selfishness that might be driving some of this. Know my worries. See if there's any offensive way in me. Like, help me not to hide or deflect or dismiss or minimize things in my life, but help me to see where I've caused harm. Help me to be known by you, God, to be accepted. Lead me in the way everlasting. And that's where we get to be with Jesus as we walk with him. See, we say, Jesus, wash the parts of me that got dirty today. That's what our daily inventory, that's what step 10 means. Let this time with Jesus today be the rumble strips that keep you from veering too far off course or getting distracted. Let this time with Jesus be where we reorient our lives to the direction and the calling that Jesus has on us. Let it be the place where we deal with regularly the emotional baggage or the hurt or the pain that we've either caused or had done to us in that day. We work through those things regularly. And it can actually sound counterintuitive, but this is the freedom of being known, that bringing our entire selves, the things that we're really angry about, like this is what helps us to keep from building up resentment and baggage and having these things that kind of are a cancer to us for a long time. It's the freedom of a heart set free by Jesus, right? Bringing all of it to Jesus regularly. Philip Yancey is an author. He's written lots of great books about the Christian life. And he shared an analogy once. And the analogy breaks down at some point. So like, don't go too deep in it. Just accept it for the superficial level that I have. So he says, imagine that God is up here and God holds us close to him with a string. And we're down here on a string. And this is how God kind of keeps us tethered to him. And when we sin or when we cause harm or when we kind of veer too far off the road, like it's almost like we took a pair of scissors and we cut that string and we separated ourselves from God. But then when we do a daily inventory, when we do daily time with God and we confess our sins and we ask God to mend us, to make amends, that Jesus comes down and he kind of takes the two ends of that rope and he ties them together. And the cool thing about that is that every time we do that, like it re-tethers us to God, but the rope gets shorter every time, right? And so if you daily confess your sins to God and you admit the places where that string got cut or where there's been damage or separation, and we invite Jesus to come and repair those things, every time we do that, the distance between us and God keeps getting shorter and shorter because there's something beautiful about confession and repentance that draws us close to Jesus. When we ask God to search us daily, we're able to identify where we need to ask God to come and tie that string again. And we allow Jesus to serve us, to kneel down where our feet got dirty and grimy, where we cut that string, and we allow him to wash our feet on his terms, being led by him, being searched by the Holy Spirit. And that's how we find the center again. Making this a regular practice, we are brought closer and closer to Jesus every day. This is how there is beauty in our brokenness, and this is why it is where through our wounds where the light shines through. So step 10 is a daily inventory. Let's actually think about it as a daily invitation. A daily invitation for us to spend time with God and to him search us, to really know us. And for us to experience the closeness and intimacy of God. It's asking God to use the tools and themes we've been learning about through these 12 steps as a means to be mended and healed and brought closer to Jesus. Because that's what freedom is. It's being close to Jesus, right? These 12 steps are not a list of new rules for us to follow every day. Okay? That's our impression of them. That was my impression when I started this message. I was like, that's terrible. I don't want to do that. They're not 12 new items on our daily to-do list, but they're an invitation to enter into the presence of God and for God to search us and to know us and to bring healing, to keep short accounts, to defend ourselves from the toxicity of sin and the attacks that come every day, to keep our relationships healthy. It's an invitation to experience intimacy with God and to be known by him. So I'm going to reread these 12 steps. I'm going to kind of go back to the language that we've been using throughout this series. And I want us to think of these steps as a pathway to discipleship. These aren't 12 steps of AA. These are 12 steps of coming closer to Jesus. So let's read them under that light. Step 1, we admitted that we are powerless over our deepest problems and that our lives have become unmanageable. And so we came to believe that only God could restore us to sanity. And so we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we have come to know him in Jesus. And in doing so, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, where we admit to God, ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. We became ready for God to remove our defects of character and humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. We made a list of all the persons we had harmed, maybe just that day, and became willing to make amends to them all. We made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And so we continue to take personal inventory, daily time with God, and when we are wrong, we promptly admit it. Friends, this is an invitation to the freedom of being known by God, to be known, to be loved, and to be accepted. This is an invitation to spend time regularly with Jesus, with a God who knows you and loves you. This is not an invitation to try harder or to be better or to wash your own feet. It's not what this is an invitation for. But this is an invitation to let Jesus serve you. This is an invitation to have God tie that little string that connects us to him. And each time we let him fix what is broken in our lives, it actually brings us closer and closer to him. Step 10 is an invitation to keep short accounts and to practice forgiveness regularly, to have regular course correction, and to allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, even when it's a direction that maybe we don't want to go. So we invite God to search us. And as we do this, I just want to remind us, I want to remind myself that God is gentle, that God is kind, and he's patient, and he loves us too much to leave us to our own devices. We serve a God who will stoop down, who will take his own clothes, wash the dirt and the grime off of our feet, not always as we would ask him to, but as we need him to. This is the gift of being known by God. So maybe today, maybe right now, maybe the season of this Freedom series is the good old days for you. Maybe this is when you started a regular time with Jesus. Or maybe it's when you tried a new shape or a new format to your regular time with Jesus. Maybe a year from now, you're going to look back at this Freedom series and be like, oh, that was the time when I worked so hard and Jesus was so near to me. Those were the good old days. And maybe it's this season where you'll start having a friendship with God who knows you and serves you in a way that allows you to be content and to feel safe and to feel whole, to be made whole by Jesus. I think this is the good old days. So I'm going to invite you to stand if you are able. And I'd like to close in prayer and by reading our verse from Psalm 139 again. And so God, we come before you today, and it is with some fear and trembling that we ask you to search us, to know us, to test our anxious thoughts, and to see if there is any offensive way in us. We ask that you would lead us in the way everlasting. And so, Holy Spirit, may this be a season of us not just finding freedom for freedom's sake, but finding freedom because that is steps towards you, Jesus. And so may you step into our lives, and as we play out and figure out what step 10 means for each one of us personally, I pray, Holy Spirit, that we would know how and what daily or regular or consistent time with you looks like for me, for each one of my friends. And may we experience freedom in the presence of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.